Welcome to the Mind Behind Leadership live here on talkradio.nyc. We've got a first tonight. We've actually got a guest who's dancing to the theme tune before we even start. That's a first. Look, I've got the best job in the world. Every week I'm speaking with people with different perspectives, different ideas, approaches on what leadership really means. There just seems to be one kind of constant within it all. It's the intent of the guests. Every guest that I have on seems to be intent on influencing others to do something positive, to create a positive outcome, to act in the right way and create a positive outcome for themselves as well. Sometimes that's really forgotten about. So it kind of branches over between business and personal. My guess is we're going to kind of talk over those tonight. So who's my guest? Sit back and relax, because this is a big welcome, this one. Our guest this evening is Dr. Sean Duperron. I'm going to get that right as we go through. Dr. Sean's got a PhD in communications and an expertise in good gossip. She's also considered one of the most innovative speakers and consultants on engagement today. Her social media reach, get this, tops 100 million a month. Now, progressive teachings on forgiveness as a leadership skill shifts corporate cultures and amplify respect. A case study project, Forgive, is a non-profit, non-religious educational foundation that focuses on mental health and business programs that make a difference for veterans and those who make a difference in the juvenile justice system. But hey, there's more. Just listen to this. I hope you're suitably embarrassed by all this welcome, but she's a 6-time Emmy Award winner who has been featured on CNN, ABC, Inc. magazine, The Wall Street Journal, and USA Today, to name just a few. And as a scholar, Dr. Sean's expertise is leading edge. I'm applying this gossip theory, which I'm really interested in. Her disruptive strategies caused Project Forgive to go viral, garnering an endorsement from no less than Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the honour of a 2016 Nobel Peace Prize nomination for her work in global leadership. Dr. Sean, good evening.
Good evening.
Wow. I'm glad we've got 5 hours to talk about this, because there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, we've only got the hour, but hey, how did all this begin? My guess is nobody kind of turns around and says, I'm going to win 6 Emmys, I'm going to get a Nobel Peace Prize award, and I'm going to create all this impact else everywhere around me. How did it start for you?
You know, that is an excellent question. You know what I would have to say? I'd have to say I'm a seeker. And I know many people watching and listening are going to really relate that when you come from a background, that it's amazing that you're alive. That when you do your internal work, and that to me is what leadership is all about. When you do your work, you keep growing and growing and growing, and you keep doing the next right step. And eventually you're actually creating a life that you love and living your dreams. I believe that with my whole heart. I know you get this conversation. And can I talk about incest right out of the bat, right out of the gate?
You go for it.
I talk about being an incest survivor, you know, ever since my 20s. And I love to bring up this subject because some of the things that happen to us, I really see as happening for us. Because, you know, do I wish incest on someone? Absolutely not. And in the same breath, it's probably one of the best things that's ever shaped me to be the most compassionate, kind, unstoppable individual you could meet. And I really see myself that way. And there's shame doesn't tie me down. I have no issue asking for stuff. I feel so free as a 57-year-old grandmother now, doing all this work, and I call it leadership work, that it falls in the miracle zone. It falls in the miracle zone and comes back to being a young girl, being molested, and deciding when I was 13, saying, you know what, this is messed up. And I'm going to figure out why this is like this is, and figure out what is my destiny and what am I supposed to do in the world. And that was my conversation as a 13-year-old. And I've been an advocate for self-care, mental health, counseling, 12-step programs, taking any kind of professional development course you can take. And it's paid off. How's that? You do your work, amazing things happen.
It's incredible. Can't believe that. A 13-year-old, at 13, where did you find that insight to see that there was something else?
You know,
and actually do something about it?
Well, I couldn't really do anything at 13 because it was the family system was the family system. I just knew that when I got older that I was going to seek counseling because I knew here I was being a 13-year-old, 8-year-old, 7-year-old, being the parent in the family system. And I know a lot of people can really relate to this. And this is not dissing my family at all. I love my family. And I've learned a lot from my family, especially my mother. And I don't know why I had that push and bug to self-discover and to professionally develop. Sometimes I think I'm one of the lucky ones. And someone will hear me say, "You think you're lucky?" And yeah, I do. Because if I look at a continuum of like 40 things about my experience, and I had 40 things I was looking at, there's horrible abuse, there's deep pain, there's lots of grief, there's amazing accolades, there's joy, there's excitement, there's play. It comes, all of it goes together. So one of forgiveness is the biggest piece. And that's why forgiveness has become such a big platform for me. And it's not the forgive and forget. You're not, if someone gets in a drunk driving accident and kills your child, you're not going to forgive and forget that. It doesn't work that way. And it became one of my missions to really learn about forgiveness because we always teach what we need most. And I had a lot of forgiveness to do. And so I would credit it to my capacity and passion for forgiveness too.
How does that relate to, one of the things that I've noticed, you say that you work with governments and universities. I know you've got lots of work with corporations. How does this kind of message cross over there when it's so personal?
So here's the thing. All it takes is someone in a position of power, and I'm going to use General Motors as an example. There's this guy, his name's Reggie Humphreys. He's in charge of supplier diversity for General Motors. He saw me speak. He saw me do a session with women business owners around social media, because you know we're really good at that social good gossip thing. And I incorporated the conversation of forgiveness in it. And one of the tools that we teach is called accepting the apology you'll never receive. And when people do this activity, like at a live event, which we still do them online, it's transformative. It is a stellar tool that you don't need anyone to apologize to you anymore. You take on your own leadership and you can do it yourself. And Reggie saw this and just went. And he was my pushover, my threshold. He said, "We got to take this into corporations." He's taken me to all kinds of organizations. More and more people found out about it. We're in that good gossip realm where a tsunami was created because the tools are that exquisite. And it just takes one person in power to say, "Wow." And that's what happened. And it's, you know, game on ever since.
I'm curious. So this is about us forgiving other actions.
Yeah. I'll give you
some things of, please.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
So I got this neighbor. This is where it came from. I have this neighbor that drives me nuts. Do you have somebody that you just look at him and you want to smack him?
I live in New York. Of course I do.
All right.
They're everywhere.
So I got this neighbor and he's like, if you watch Schitt's Creek, He's like Roland on Schitt's Creek, only worse, okay? For those that don't know Roland, this is an example. Like, I'll go out to get the mail, okay? And I'll see Bob, that's not his real name. I'll see Bob, and he'll go, "Good morning, Dr. Sean." And I can just go, and I'll say, "Yeah, but Bob, you know, it's 6 p.m., honey. It's not morning." This was real. This really happened. He said to me, "I know, but you look like you just got up," okay? So and it's a social skills issue, you know, whatever. Okay. So he annoyed the crap out of me. And I said, "What would happen, okay, as a leader, if I pretended in my mind's eye that he was apologizing to me. He's not. No apologies happening. But I just pretended that he was. Could I shift me, myself, as a leader? Because we have no control over anybody else but ourselves. That's it. So I started practicing in my mind every time I saw him that he was apologizing. And in my mind, he was saying things like, oh, Dr. Shaw, I did it again. I can't believe I put my foot in my mouth. Every time I see you, I get nervous. Actually, anytime I see any people, I'm such an introvert. I always say the wrong things. And I'm so uncomfortable talking to people. And the truth is, I just want you to like me. And as soon as I would say that in my mind's eye, and he wasn't saying it, I would calm down. My agitation would start to disappear. And I actually fell more in love with this guy. And with my shifting, he also started to shift. It's a powerful tool that you can do with anybody that drives you crazy. It's a tool to practice, right? But that's where...
Well, I certainly in New York, I think I could probably get a lot of practice.
And it can be used, you know, when I look at... I know, you know, I have some tragedy in my bed. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, sorry. You froze just for a moment there. I don't know if it was one of us. So that's... I thought you'd finished. So see, please carry on.
So you can use it for a higher skill set. Like one of my stories right now is just before COVID hit, my mother, my father, and my sister, my whole primary family all died of cancer. Three different types of cancer in a very short period of time. And sitting still during COVID was a stretch because the grief, you know, the waves of grief. And I've used this tool. You can use, and just, you know, Project Forgive is non-religious. We welcome, we're inclusive, we're bipartisan, all 9 months. And we welcome whatever religion you are or not. It doesn't matter. For me, it's God. And I use that apology with God, especially at the height of my grief. And God, I would pretend God was saying things to me like, oh, Sean, I'm so sorry. I know everybody's gone. I know you feel guilt for being a survivor. I know this makes no sense, Angel. I know it makes no sense. Just know I have a divine plan, and it's going to be okay, and we will get through this. And that's something I said to myself daily for over a year. I did that apology from God. I could even have God apologize to me. And I'm not saying this for other people to do it. It's just an exquisite tool for whatever area of life that you need that kind of a tool with. You know, could be the annoying neighbor, or it could be with your mother-in-law that you really want to be close to. Could be with a business partner who stole 20 grand. I mean, there's so many different ways that it can be used. And our minds are so powerful, right? And just like if you say, think of a lemon, you can think of a lemon or a pickle. What we tell ourselves is what we believe. And when you do this activity, it actually feels like the person apologized to you, even though they didn't. I love sharing about it because it really works. It really
so works. I've got to ask you, is that how you actually see Sean? Sean. So Sean. I'm getting all mixed up. I'm having a bad night with names, with Bob. Is that how you actually see Bob? When you kind of say, well, I'm an introvert, I'd say the wrong things. Do you actually think that's how he genuinely really is? Or is this a caricature that you've made up in your own mind to be able to deal with it?
So there's two answers to that. One is you can make it up. The second answer is because I'm a trainer that dives into personalities and face, how our face works and all that, I'm pretty clear I'm accurate on that with them just because that's what I do for a living. I can really read people in that way, like what really might be going on with them. And I believe it's pretty accurate. But let's say it's not. Let's say I just made it up. It still works. So you don't have to be accurate and you don't have to be right. There's no right way to do it.
And there's probably not many ways that you can really check. I was just curious if that was where you actually thought he was. Look, we're about to go to a break. When we come back from the break, there's a couple of things I do want to dive into. One of them being about asking for forgiveness, so the other way around. So us giving forgiveness is one side, but what's your experience of having to ask for forgiveness? Because mine is plenty in that one as well. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership. We're with Dr. Sean this evening. We're live on talkradio.nyc, and we'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
To The Mind Behind Leadership. We're with Dr. Sean this evening, not Dr. Bob, definitely Dr. Sean. I'm stumbling like Bob this evening. Forgiveness. So we've spoken quite lightly, my guess is there's a lot more to speak about in this. We've spoken lightly about kind of forgiving others. How about asking for forgiveness? Where are we with that one, Dr. Sean?
I love this conversation. I'm really liking you, Graham. So I'm a researcher. I know that our brain grasps in threes, okay? Three steps, very, very easy. Acknowledge what you did wrong. And I say it in quotes because sometimes somebody wants an apology for a perceived mistake. Mm-hmm. And that's the highest level of leadership. When you can apologize and you didn't do anything wrong, that's high leadership. So acknowledge, actually apologize, and then what you can do to make amends. There's three steps. Acknowledge the mistake, acknowledge the pain, whatever it is, an actual apology, and what you can do to make amends. So let's, what kind of example can we use? What did I do? Did I hurt your feelings? What did I do? Did I, was I out of integrity and didn't show up for an interview?
Oh, no, everybody hurts my feelings. I'm quite a sensitive soul.
I understand. What would be a good example to apologize for?
I'll tell you what, one thing that always presses my buttons is the lack of fairness. So if I think there's something's not been done that should have been done, or someone's not had an acknowledgement of what they should have been, it doesn't even need to be me. That's something that pushes me.
When it's not fair. So can you give me an example of not fair, something recent that happened to you that you're like, that is so not fair?
When other people can take credit for something that you've actually done.
Okay. So let's say I took credit for something you did.
I knew it. As soon as you turned up this evening, I knew it.
Okay. What did I take credit for?
For designing a training program that really hit the mark.
All right. That is a deep apology because that's a high ethics violation. So I would have called you or texted you, say, hey, can I have a conversation with you? That's what I would have done. And let's say we're having that conversation now. So, Graham, I really appreciate that you came on this call with me. And the biggest thing I want to do, first of all, is acknowledge that I actually plagiarized your training material. And I just want to be upfront about it. And I just want you to know that I'm acknowledging it. And I need to deeply, deeply apologize. There was miscommunication in my office. A lot of things happened. But regardless of what happened, the bottom line is I plagiarized your stuff and I need to make it right. And so I deeply apologize. And I'm wondering, I was thinking about a couple of ways to make amends. Like I can acknowledge it publicly on LinkedIn because that seems to be where most of the interaction happened. I'm happy to do several posts because it takes a while for it to filter through. That's one way that I could do it that would help start the process. Is that okay if we start this way? How are you feeling and thinking as I'm saying all this?
I'm feeling that you are being absolutely sincere because that's a huge commitment to do something like that publicly. You could have probably bought me off with a glass of whiskey, in all fairness. But you know, the LinkedIn.
But it's an ethics violation, Graham.
Okay, two.
I'll even buy you whiskey too if you like cinnamon whiskey. I like cinnamon Fireball whiskey. Do you?
No, Scotch. Okay, obviously.
Okay. But like that's an example, right?
Yeah.
Now let's say it's a little one. Let's say it's your kids, and they want ice cream for breakfast. Okay, it's a simple one, but this is a great formula. And let's say, oh, little Graham, oh, you want ice cream. I'm acknowledging you want ice cream. I get it. And I'm so sorry, but you can't have ice cream for breakfast. It's just not going to work. I got a couple of options. Maybe we can have it for dinner tonight. And I'd be happy to let you have ice cream for your birthday day. Your birthday's coming up in 3 weeks. We can even have ice cream for breakfast on your birthday that day. Will that work for you? And I'm so sorry, Lisa. You see how formulaic it is?
Yeah, it's really
formulaic. It really is. And sometimes when people are listening, they say, oh, wait, that's pretty easy. And when you start practicing it, it's so easy. It's just like, okay, I need to acknowledge. I need to actually apologize. What can I do to make amends?
What do you think most people don't do? Where do they not forgive in the right way? We've got a formula there. What part of the formula is normally missed?
You know what's missing is it's a conversation in being, Graham, being. People, and actually my Facebook Live on Monday is on forced apologies, but when we're forced to make an apology, you should never, 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 never apologize if you're still angry about it, if you think it's wrong, if it's inauthentic for you. Because you might say to me, hey, Dr. Sean, I need an apology. And if I'm not ready to apologize, I might say, I got it. I need a little bit of time to process. Would you allow me that little processing time? And I'll circle back in a couple weeks. Let me see how I'm doing. Because the truth is I want to be authentic in that apology. And right now I'm too defensive.
You mentioned when we spoke about Bob, you were very, very descriptive of how you saw him in your mind when you're thinking about forgiveness. And it was like you created almost this persona for Bob.
Yes.
And it sounds like you do that. Is that something that was learned? As you were coming through your teenage years, was that a way of dealing with things?
No.
No?
Oh, gosh, no. I come from a family household that could never be angry. It was not okay to cry. I know a lot of people can relate to this. I come from a very alcoholic, incestuous background, and feelings were unacceptable, anger was unacceptable, all of those things were unacceptable. So I had to go on my own journey of self-discovery and reparent myself. You know, I know many of us have had to do that. This is not dissing my family. I mean, the skills that I've garnered through my experience in life, blessings to me. I have some skills, right? And so no, did not. It was just an evolution over time with the next right step.
Mm-hmm. So talk to us more then about Project Forgive at a higher level. So we've spoken in detail about kind of what that is. What's the impact here?
So Project Forgive, we've really shifted. Project Forgive has shifted in 2021. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at doing more training for teachers. That's where we're going to be spending a lot of time now, just because of COVID. And teachers need the support. I know kids need support. And I come from the mindset, feed the teachers who are feeding the students. And so we're doing a lot of training creation to really make a difference for teachers. What I love about Project Forgive is that we do reach millions. We do lives every week. We break and bust up myths. That's one of the things that startles me sometimes about the conversation of forgiveness, is that the forgive and forget crap is just crap. Excuse me, it's just crap. That, you know, you have to be like Jesus or God and forgive. Forgiveness is a process. We're here having a human experience. There's many times we can forgive people quickly. Like someone cuts me off on the road, I can forgive them pretty darn quick. Someone betrays trust or steals $50,000 from my company, that's a process. And the things that people don't understand, what I love about Project Forgive, is that we really focus on five stages. Our brain thinks in threes, fives, and sevens. There's this process. There's these stages we go through when it comes to forgiving deep stuff. And it goes shock, anger, grief, acceptance, and peace. It's a five, shock, acceptance, grief, acceptance, and peace. It's a nonlinear process. So let's say you get fired from your job or you lose a big client. You might be really angry because you didn't see it coming. Then 3 days later, a new client comes on board and you're like, oh, it's great. But then that client leaves right away because they didn't like the contract. You're back to anger again. So you can go from anger to peace to acceptance to grief. The hardest places for people is the grief. That's why I like to publicly grieve, Graham, to model what grief looks like. Grief is the most transformative feeling and experience you can have, because grief changes us. If you notice you're feeling a lot of anger, usually what's underneath a lot of anger is a lot of grief. And so this educational component to normalize this process of forgiveness, it's not like he killed your sister and you're going to go hug him and say, I forgive you. That's not what a normal process of forgiveness would look like. Although it can look like that for somebody. I've seen it authentically. So this education piece is probably the most significant for me. And me as a trainer, taking risks, because we do media training, high-pressure communication, you're going to take risks in high-pressure situations, and a lot of times you're going to screw up because you've never done it before. And the game to me is, how quickly can you forgive yourself and others so you can actually find solutions? Because if you stay in that fixed problem versus solve, because I see a distinction between fixing and solving, when solve is where people get connected, is where creativity happens, is where productivity happens. It's where you find the most amazing ideas for your launch or whatever you're doing in your business or with your employer. That grief is so, so important. And we avoid grief like the plague. We avoid it because grief hurts. It hurts. Just before I got on this call, my little grandson, his name is Mikey, he's 10. He was crying because they had to bury his gerbil today. And all me and my husband did is we just said, oh, Mikey, oh, and let him grieve. We have a hard time letting people grieve. I'm going to bring up another big one for grief. Is it okay? This is what
you of course.
Yeah. So I've been kind of out of pocket for the last 3 weeks. Major tragedy happened in my family. My daughter, 6 months pregnant, she lost the baby. Grief may come up while I start talking about this because I'm in the midst of it. And really sad. So sad. Like, the 6-month-old is a real baby, you know? Not that a 12-week one isn't. It's not. It just was so real for me personally. And watching my daughter and her husband, and her husband say to me, she's in so much pain, I don't know what to do. What do we do? He says, I know. And the biggest gift you can give her, the hardest gift and the biggest gift, is just to validate and say, I know somehow. You love her if she wants to be with you. Be with her while she needs. There's something about witnessing someone's grief. There's something about being with someone in someone's grief. A lot of times we want to talk. Oh, it's going to be okay. Or we pat them on the back or put tissues in their hand. If someone's grieving, let them ask for tissues. We start stepping into our codependent behaviors. So exactly what I'm telling you right now is what I love most about Project Forget, because we give real tips and tools to deal with everyday stuff. You know?
It's interesting. Obviously, you're much wider read than I am on the subject. It just always feels to me that we've got all these sayings, things like it'll be better in the morning, or give, you know, time's a great healer and everything like that. And it's giving that space. What I see is people tend to try shorten that time rather than just let the time be whatever it is. And it tends to be when we're grieving, just let that period be whatever it is.
You're so spot on. You know what's a great movie reference? Because I love movies. It's Forrest Gump. Have you seen the movie Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
A lot of people have seen it. And Jenny, the love of his life, was molested by her dad. And when she's an adult, they will go back to her childhood home, and she's so angry, and she's throwing rocks at the house. And it moves me, because what Forrest said that was so beautiful. It wasn't about that she's angry. It wasn't about her upset. It was a very beautiful comment. And all he said is, sometimes there's just not enough rocks. And I thought, wow, that is grief. That is validation. That is loving someone up in action. And, great point that you made, man. Excellent.
And look, we're just going to go for a quick break. When I come back, we're going to be talking about, what's this good gossip thing? How did you get 6 Emmys? What's this about Nobel Peace Prize? We want to know all of it. Okay. And you're listening to The Mind Behind the Leadership. We're with Dr. Sean. You're live on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back after these.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy Gee, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, Wise Content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the Wise Content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Mind Behind Leadership. We're speaking with Dr. Sean this evening live here on talkradio.nyc. Dr. Sean, one thing I do need to tell you, we've got a show coming on next week with Colette Cronshaw, who I personally know from Manchester in the UK, who's had a similar experience in kind of that you've had, and she ended up as a street sex worker, but now runs a couple of centres and is heavily involved with support services in Northern England. It's a fascinating conversation. So I know Colette from a number of years ago. So it's an interesting theme. We recorded that just a few days ago. Good gossip. What on earth is good gossip?
You know, when you think gossip, you usually think mean and nasty, right?
Yeah.
That's it, mean and nasty. Well, the research shows that mean, nasty stuff is only about 5 to 7%. We're actually really, really good people. We tend to remember the bad gossip. That's just how our hardwiring is and how our brains work. And it says a lot about where the word comes from. The word gossip comes from the word God-sib, meaning close to God. So what would happen in the 8th, 9th, 10th centuries, the doulas who were delivering babies were called godsibs because they'd spread the precious news that a precious child of God was born. And when I read about the origination of this word, I said, I'm done, I'm sold. Because can you imagine if you really became masterful at good gossip and how do you make things go viral? What causes, what could you make go viral? And forgiveness has always been at the top of my list, especially when I would particularly focus on media training. Because people would go on camera and they'd hate how they look. They screwed it up. They thought they were terrible. And it was more about getting over your own self and forgiving yourself. So I thought, what would happen if we did something on forgiveness? And then the perfect storm came into place. And what happened was a dear friend of ours, his name is Gary Weinstein. His wife and son and two sons were killed by a drunk driver. So devastating day. It was even more devastating when we found out and that the man who killed him was also a dear family friend. Now, Gary, dear friend, his wife was my husband's business coach for years. My kids babysat his kids. And then the man who killed this family, broad daylight, drunk driver, his family is also a dear friend of ours. And I just thought the day that I'm like, what are the odds? What does that mean? And how can you be a really amazing person and kill three people? Can you be both of those things? All right?
Yep.
And how do you rectify that? How do you integrate that? So it became a big topic for me, like, you know, when I look at my perpetrator, I look at my mother who betrayed me, didn't save me from being molested. There's hate and there's love. We're complex human beings, and we process, if we allow ourselves to process, very complicated information. And I did a little video on this drunk driving accident. And of course, using gossip theory, because we're good at it, it went viral. And then Project Forgive was born out of that dichotomy. How can you love someone and hate someone at the same time? How can you appreciate someone and be totally disgusted with them at the same time? How can you be a good person and kill three people at the same time? Those dichotomies have always been a big part of my grasping and development. And to actually talk about it in a powerful way around the process of forgiveness, not forgetting anything. There's no forgiving for that. It doesn't exist in my world. Things you can forget, for sure. I'm never going to forget that I was molested. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So being able to process this at the highest critical thinking skills, along with a very open heart, that's what inspired me the most about pursuing this in gossip theory. And I mean, forgiveness experts across the globe have been contacting us for the last 5 years saying, how are you doing this? How are you getting into corporations? How are you able to bring a conversation of forgiveness into corporations? We found a way to do it that resonates. And it's by being this authentic in a conversation with you right now, because what you see is what you get. We are very authentic. We say it like it is. And if we don't know, we're going to say we don't know. And we're going to lay it bare. And I really have to do a shout out to Brené Brown, because she made vulnerability cool. She made it cool. So, you know, the truth is authenticity is what's really driven this in gossip theory.
It's interesting because just I suddenly had this realization that when we say forgive and forget, to me now thinking about it in this way, if you can't forget, then that means you can't forgive because we link the two of them.
Yeah. And what if you don't have to forget?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, I've gotten to a place with molestation for me that I'm in a pretty peaceful place. Does that mean certain things don't trigger me? Noises trigger me. My abuse is centered around noises. So pen clicking, gum popping, I can go right back to being six. You know, I have more mastery over it now. Do I forgive? I don't know. Do I accept and do I have peace? Abso-frickin-lutely. So I don't know if the end game is to forgive. We kind of think about forgiveness as black and white. Forgiveness is not black and white. It's a process. It's like, do you want to just hurry up and get through your life? Do you want to, like, life will be better once I graduate from college. Life will be better once I get the perfect job. Life will be better once I start a business. Life will be better once I have three kids. Life will be better once I have a house. It's all crap. It's like dangling a carrot. It's the process. It's the journey. We hear that all the time. And when we choose to live it, that's when you actually have peace.
It again, really strange, as I wrote down black and white, where you're talking about
Gary Weinstein, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're talking about him, it's like, well, is it all bad or is it all good? And we're kind of trained into this, whether it be politics or sports or opinions about other people. It just, there's no middle ground, there's no gray area. We're either one or the other. And life doesn't actually work like that. It's just not how it works. So, and I think we've probably seen that more so recently, just with all the politics here and in the UK and across Europe and everything. We need to be really careful.
I have one fast tip to help with families that are fighting about politics.
Go on.
The fast tip is, let's say you're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
This works every time. You might have to repeat it 3, 4, 5, 7 times. As soon as politics come up, you say to your mom, you say to your brother, you say whatever, Mom, I love you so much. And I've discovered that whenever we bring up politics, we divide. I'm interested in being close to you. Can we pick up politics and put it to the side right now? I'm more invested in being close to you because I love you. And I'm interested and invested in having an intimate relationship with you. So let's put politics to the side. And eventually politics will come back in as you get closer. You need to be able to be vulnerable to have these conversations. And it's like a catch-22. You can't be vulnerable because you're fighting about politics. You can't talk about politics because you can't be vulnerable. If you put it to the side and let it just sit there and start getting closer in your other conversations, that will slowly trickle in. Really good.
Thank you. Good advice. We're about to go to our final break, Dr. Sean. When we come back, we are definitely going to be speaking about the Emmys and the Nobel Peace Prize nomination. You're listening to The Mind Behind Leadership, live here on talkradio.nyc. We'll be back after these.
You're
listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
The new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Mind Buying Leadership. We're speaking with Dr. Sean. And just, you know, Dr. Sean, Charmaine Hammond on Facebook Live says, we are huge fans of Project Forgive, such important work and difference in making, or it makes such a difference. Let's hope that Charmaine's also dancing to the theme tune. You never know.
Love Charmaine. Yay.
So you got a following, you got a fan base here. This is humbling. Talk to me about this Nobel Peace Prize nomination. Talk to me. What happened?
So I'm probably giving away secrets.
Oh, go on. It's just us. It's just me, you. Just me, you, and Charmaine. That's it. No one else.
You have to be nominated, and there's a specific constituency that can nominate, and it's very top secret. Somebody told somebody told somebody on the nominating committee that the work that we're doing is so amazing, and especially accepting the apology we never received. And so I never met, I know the man's name, I'm not allowed to say. I know who nominated us in Europe, very influential in this nomination process, and thought the work that we were doing was so progressive and breathtaking, and it really is. And that's how we got nominated. It was so, like, you know, sometimes you want something to go a certain way and you think this should happen or that should happen. The right people always show up. Mm-hmm. The right circumstances always happen. You know, even looking at, you know, what happened with my daughter losing her baby, the weeks that we were together, we had some of the most vulnerable, intimate conversations we've ever had as a family. And so tragedy can sometimes bring you together. And when things aren't going the way that you want them to, you can actually get a Nobel Peace Prize nomination out of it. And so I so trust divine order, and the world is in order, even though it doesn't feel like it at times, even though there's grief, even though there's sadness, there's also a lot of joy. So this whole thing about going with the flow, I really live it. And joy is my focus. My goal is to be in joy. And I know when I'm focused on joy, no matter what's going on, finding access to joy, even in deep grief, things evolve beautifully. And that's exactly how I describe the Nobel Peace Prize nomination. was that process. It happened in that divine thing.
You've got the word joy sitting over your left shoulder.
I do.
Which
I
is kind of right. You got everywhere. You know, we talked some hard subjects, some tough stuff this evening.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you realized you'd been nominated?
I was moved. Moves me even now. Because the work is so beautiful. And deserves it.
Because it's in the, what did it do for the project? What did it do for kind of the work you were doing to have that kind of endorsement?
So you come into, of course, I'm a gossip theorist, right? We talk about the gossip theory. All it does is avalanche and cascade and expand the work we're doing. And that's primarily what's happened. I mean, we reach millions. We have over 2 million that follow us. We reach sometimes 100 million a month. It's constantly growing. It's just growing, growing. I don't care what faith you are, what race you are, what sexual orientation, doesn't matter. We can all relate to the conversation of forgiveness. So it's a conversation that brings us together.
Even Scottish?
Even Scottish.
Even Scottish, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing.
Yep.
6 times Emmy Award winner.
So can I just really brag for a second?
Go on then, we'll let you.
We have more than 20 Emmy nominations. We only won 6 times.
Oh,
and the reason I say that is because about the first time that I won an Emmy was after, it was on my 11th nomination. And for those that know Susan Lucci and all my children, she'd never won an Emmy forever, and she finally won one after like 30 years or whatever. So it's like, I'm never going to win an Emmy. And I was so mad and so upset. And that's part of that forgiveness process. Can I forgive myself for not winning an Emmy? Can I forgive myself for wanting one so badly? Okay? Because, sometimes you just want something and then you feel shame because you want it so bad. And when I was able to do some of that forgiveness work with myself, that's when the plate starts to clear and you actually see solutions to how to do something. So after the 10th nomination and not winning, I did some forgiveness work and said, okay, take a deep breath. What do I need to do to win one? What am I missing here? So I started going on Emmy committees to find out what wins. What a concept. That wasn't an option for me before. So I really did my research. I really did my work. And lo and behold, we started winning because we were following the formulas of how to win an Emmy. And most of the stuff we won Emmys on was on things that are dear to my heart, like cancer, mm-hmm. Like diversity, equity, inclusion. That's a big, big piece for me, systemic racism. We did a documentary on a very famous judge. His name is Judge Damon Keith. He's well known, like Thurgood Marshall. Did some amazing things. And then AIDS. Did some stuff on AIDS. American Cancer Society, as well as Karmanos Cancer Institute. So I got to, everything that we won Emmys on were things that were deeply important to me. So my passion and drive and excitement was there.
What's next for you?
The movie. We got a movie coming out. In the midst of editing now. The reason I'm like hesitant about it is because I don't know what to do. And I'm one of those that if I don't know what to do, I like to sit and wait till I know what to do. But then there's this concept of the next right step. And the next right step is just to keep moving along, getting this documentary done, because it might end up on Netflix, might end up on PBS. I want to be so in tune emotionally, vibrationally, where it needs to go. And I just keep doing the next right step, and it's the movie. That's what's next.
Are you allowed to tell us the name of the movie? Do you have
Project
it yet?
It's called Project Forgive. Yeah, it's an exploration of what forgiveness is, what it isn't. And I'm going to do it first person and take everyone along on my journey of forgiving my mother.
The only other Emmy Award winning person I've had as a guest was Tyler Pena, and he won that as a director, movie director, and I worked with him last year. Look, we've only got a couple of minutes left. This hour has absolutely flown in.
Yeah.
What advice would you give if someone was struggling with forgiveness?
I knew you were going to ask that, and this is my favorite response. When you're stuck, it's like barnacles on a boat, and you're stuck, you just feel furious, or it's something that's happened 20 years ago, and it comes up, and you're still ticked off. The way that you start loosening the barnacles on the boat is to forgive yourself for not forgiving. I can forgive about something I'm really upset about. I got a couple of things that I'm personally working through, and one of them is a stuck one. And I keep practicing, Sean, forgive yourself for not forgiving that person right now. Trust the process. Can you forgive yourself for not forgiving? And as soon as I say that, I already automatically can even loosen up a little bit. That's all you need to do. It ain't that freaking deep.
Coming back full circle. From kind of what I said at the beginning, a lot of the people that I speak with talk about working on ourselves in leadership and how we go out to others rather than just what else is happening on the external. Dr. Sean, thank you. We've run out of time. I'm so sorry. You can catch all of these, all of the shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, all of these. We'll be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc. Thank you again, Dr. Sean. Much love. Good night.
Thanks.
Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
You did a phenomenal job. Phenomenal. Are we done?
Hey everybody, it's Tommy Gee, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas.
This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.